And welcome back to Coast to Coast. You know, with more than 101.5 million copies in print, New York Times bestselling author Squire Rushnell and his wife Louise Duarte Rushnell return to us with the beloved Godwink series. Now, this time with a charming dog-focused collection of stories, all of which will provide plenty of hope, encouragement, and might even make you chuckle a little bit. Squire was with me back a couple of years ago as we talked about his Godwink Christmas stories. Next up, Dog Winks, True Godwink Stories of Dogs when we come back. Welcome back to Coast to Coast. George Norrie with you. Let me introduce a couple of our special guests. First, Squire Rushnell is a very popular speaker and New York Times bestselling author who has coined the term Godwink now in mainstream usage. Squire's Godwink stories are a popular monthly feature on the NBC Today Show, a veteran ABC Television Network executive. He led Good Morning America to the number one spot, oversaw the acclaimed Schoolhouse Rock series and the ABC After School specials. Programs under his direction have captured more than 75 Emmys. There is a Netflix show coming out called Rescued by Ruby, which is coming out based on the book Dog Winks, which we'll be talking about tonight. Squire, welcome back, my friend. How are you?
Hiya, George.
Looking forward to this.
Good to hear your voice again.
Indeed, indeed. And now let's bring in your wife, Louise Duarte Rushnell, who co-starred with Tim Conway and Harvey Korman in the sold-out performances for 15 seasons. She's been a very popular woman of faith speaker, has co-authored a number of books with Squire. She has hosted a popular daily talk show on the ABC Family Channel for seasons, up to eight, Living the Life, and has starred in various Broadway productions. Louise, welcome to the show.
Hey, George. Great to be with you.
Want to let you know we are dear friends with Tim Conway Jr., who hosts a radio program in Los Angeles before this network show that we're doing pops up. He's a great guy.
Oh, he is a great guy. We love Tim.
Thanks. And by the way, good luck with this Netflix series. When are we going to see this?
Well, it starts shooting in about 3 weeks. We're heading for Canada. We're shooting on Vancouver Island. Because they tell us that replicates a New England scenery, and the real story took place in Rhode Island. So we start shooting. It'll be shooting for 5 weeks. We won't be there for the whole thing, but will come out next February, we think. This is kind of clever. It's on the books for February 22nd. That would be 2-2-2-2.
And that
Ruby.
and that was awesome. My late father's birthday, by the way. 222.
Is that right? Oh, yeah, I love
absolutely.
It. There's a Godwink right there.
You got that right. You've got what? How many books are out now? 11?
We've got 11, and this is number 12.
That's fantastic. Good for you. And tell us, if you can, Squire, the difference between Godwinks and Dogwinks.
Well, a Godwink is a new word in the language. That fills the vacancy for a little coincidence that you know in your heart is not really a coincidence, but comes from divine origin. And so, Godwink, when that was in my first book 20 years ago, that filled a vacancy in the language. And we were just surprised at how quickly people put it into their own language. And now it is in dictionaries, and three Hallmark movies for the last 3 years have been the top-rated movies. That keeps the word going and growing, and Netflix will be next. And, of course, the Today Show, up until the time that the pandemic started, we were doing that once a month.
Good for you. Good for you. And, Louise, are we going to have a Catwinks series come out?
Well, you know, George, it's not a bad idea. We keep getting so many stories about pets, how there's so many Godwinks, that God uses pets to just give us that hope and encouragement that we need.
Absolutely. This is going to be exciting. So many great stories about dogs. And next hour, when we open up the phone lines, we'll get all kinds of animal stories. There's something very special about animals, and you have always believed that God and animals, dogs specifically, work together, don't you?
Well, when you think about it, you know, God spelled backwards is dog, and they have a lot of the same attributes. God is faithful. God is always patient and kind, and God is always there when we need him. He's a protector, and he gives us unconditional love. So that's what a dog gives us.
And this story about Ruby that Netflix is turning into a movie, Squire. Tell us about Ruby.
Well, Ruby is a story about a seven-month-old pup at the Rhode Island SPCA, Australian Shepherd Border Collie mix. Very smart, high energy, if you know those dogs. The lady trainer who worked with the dogs was a lady named Pat Inman. Her job was to get them ready for their adoptive tryouts, to make sure they put their best paw forward. And she loved Ruby, mischievous but sweet. But Ruby had a tendency to be naughty and was returned five times, called unmanageable, the last time accused of nipping. And the worried lawyers at that point recommended euthanasia.
Oh, geez.
In 2 hours, Pat Inman gets the call from one of the managers, and she rushes down to the SPCA. "You can't put down Ruby," she says. "He's so smart. Have you offered her to the state police canine unit?" she pleaded. "They never take our rescue dogs," said the manager. "They buy these $15,000 dogs that are bred for search and rescue." "Well, can't you try?" cried Pat. She turned and she left, feeling despondent, never wanting to look back. She couldn't bear the thought of what was going to happen to that sweet dog, Ruby. Feeling guilty, the manager decided to take up Pat's idea. He called the state police. Now, here was Godwink number one.
Mm-hmm.
Godwinks sometimes happen when you're in the right place
at the right time.
Moment.
That's right.
If you'd been there earlier, it might not have worked. If you'd been there later, might have been too late. But at that moment, the commander had learned that his budget had been cut. And he had been banking on having a new dog to go with a young officer who was eager to get into the unit. But now he had no dog partner. The commander came to the SPCA, looked at Ruby, said, "Well, she needs a lot of work, but we'll take a chance." So Officer Dan O'Neill was matched up with Ruby, and they endured the teasing of fellow officers like Cinderella for 6 months while struggling with Ruby's training. And finally, Ruby realized, as Australian Shepherds and Border Collies often do, that they needed a job, and she had a job, and she decided to do that job to the best of her ability. And she took her place next to all the other high-class bred for search and rescue dogs, and became a champion. Now, a couple of years ago, it was a very, very cold snap in October, freezing nights. They got word that there was a boy lost in the woods. The canine unit was sent out. Ruby takes off. Trooper Dan following, finds Ruby at the bottom of a ravine, licking the face of a boy, his forehead bloodied. There was barely a pulse, and Dan radioed his GPS coordinates to the other guys and the other fellow officers. "We can't find you," they responded. "The coordinates aren't working." So Trooper Dan says, "Bark, Ruby, bark." And they follow the sound of Ruby. The EMTs arrived, take the boy to a hospital. And Officer Dan goes right directly to the home of the parents, giving them the good news. They are overjoyed. They're crying. Dan turns to leave. "Officer," said the mother, "have you ever heard of a dog named Ruby?" Trooper Dan turns, surprised, and says, "Ma'am, Ruby's my partner."
Oh, my God.
"Found your boy." She cried again. She said, "My name is Pat Inman. I advocated for Ruby at the SPCA, but I never knew what happened."
Oh.
Trooper Dan said, "Ma'am, that means the dog you saved just saved your son. And that is a Godwink."
That is so magical. That is so magical. You can't.
That's going to be a movie.
You can't make that stuff up.
No, you cannot. You cannot. And the the divine alignment of events and people being at the right place at the right time for a God wink to happen right in the center of that is what happens to all of us through life. And we just haven't trained our eyes to see them. And people say to us, how do you get more God winks? How do you see them? Well, you tune yourself into it. You have to start getting closer to God, and the closer you get to God, the closer you're going to get to His voice leading you to these stories that are happening in your life.
I have a special affection, Squire and Louise, for people who rescue animals. Producer Tom, who called and got you two on hold here and getting ready for the show, he rescued a dog named Little Freddy. And this little dog just adores Tom, and vice versa. But, you know, there's just something magical about doing something like that, isn't there?
Oh, yes. There's, well, dogs, Louise has a word about dogs. Dogs and God. Are you there, Louise?
Well, the other thing with dogs that we've been finding, because we're collecting these stories now, and it's interesting, George, every time we write a book, you know, we put it out there. We say, okay, God, we need stories.
More stories and pop up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's unbelievable. And we have stories about dogs, how, you know, they rescue people, as you just heard. Another story where a dog detected cancer in a woman before anyone else did. Any of the machines could have, but the dog detected that. Kids who have had autism, or people with autism, you know, the dogs help them. Hearing impaired, you see that all the time. So dogs are, like, to me, they're four-legged angels on earth that God sends us. And, you know, there's something so special about a relationship with a dog. And, you know, as a kid, I always loved dogs. As a matter of fact, even though in my career I do voices for a living, I do impressions and everything. And one of the reasons why I think I ended up doing impressions is because I was so shy as a kid that I always wanted to pretend to be somebody else. Well, I always related to dogs more than I did people. And every year, Christmas time, on my Christmas list, I would write on there, I would like a dog. And my mother every year would say, Louise, you're not getting a dog. In her Boston accent, you're not getting a dog. And I said, Ma, I really want a dog. But I prayed. I said, please, God, I want a dog. I want a dog. And I understood why my mother didn't want to get a dog, because her grandfather had been bitten by a rabid dog.
That's
and
scary.
He died.
Oh.
And so she was very fearful of dogs. And so one Christmas, I said, Ma, I really want a dog. And she got very mad at me. And she said, Louise, the only way you're going to get a dog is if someone leaves you a dog in their will. Well, my prayer was partly answered, because Mr. Stellberger, who was our tenant, he had an elderly mother and she needed a dog sitter. And even though I was young, he said, well, Louise would be great to dog sit your dog, Spotty. Well, Spotty and I fell in love. I just adored this dog, and this dog loved me. We had like a spiritual connection, and I hated to leave Spotty. I couldn't wait to go back to Spotty. And then one day, Mr. Stellberger knocks on the door, and he said, I have some sad news. My mother died.
Oh,
and of course, you know, I felt terrible, but then I thought, oh my gosh, will I ever see Spotty again? And then he said, but she left Louise something in her will. My mother said, Louise, in her will. And he said, yes, it's in the back seat of the car. I'll go get it. And on a leash comes Spotty.
Oh.
And I looked at my mother, and, you know, she looked like a deer in headlights, you know. And I said, Ma, can I keep her? Can I keep her? And she waited like, it seemed like an eternity. And finally she said, well, I guess I don't have a choice. Well, Spotty became mine, and of course, I loved that dog more than anything, and my mother actually ended up loving that dog, too, but you see, it's like, I didn't know how I was going to get that dog, but God did. I mean, can you imagine my mother saying that, and that literally happened? That's a God wink, dog wink.
Sure is. Ironically, I had a theoretical physicist on the program before you two came on, talking about synchronicity. And mm-hmm. yeah. that you can tie into God wings, can't you, Squire?
Well, yes, I've always found that when I first started on this journey, I started reading things like Carl Jung and so forth.
Yeah.
I realized Carl Jung was much smarter than me. I'm the guy who brought you Schoolhouse Rock. Conjunction, junction.
Not bad, what's though. Not function? Bad.
And Carl Jung, actually, there's a little card that I have in my my wallet that I have never used. But I have had it there in case somebody asked me about synchronicity. And so I had written what Carl Jung said about synchronicity. And I wanted to just read this. It's
yeah,
one line.
Sure. I'd love to hear it.
Synchronicity designates the parallelism of time and meaning between psychic and psychophysical events.
That's well said.
Scratches his head a little bit and says, okay, that's a pathway. I understand that. But when I began this journey, I thought that what I was looking at was coincidence. And I realized that when I looked up the word coincidence in the dictionary, that I was talking about something different. If you look in the dictionary, coincidence is a remarkable concurrence of circumstances without apparent causal connection. Well, what I'm talking about, a God wink, is a remarkable concurrence of circumstances with apparent causal connection, and that connection is divine. So it is, there are two different concepts, basically, where synchronicity and coincidence, that fits the scientific community, but where you are in a situation where you just know in your heart that this could not have happened without a superior being coming into the picture, about it being a divine experience. If you know that's the case, then you that's a God wink, and that's the difference. It's interesting to me. I didn't find this out until 5 years into writing the books, that in the Hebrew language, the word coincidence does not exist.
And I don't believe in coincidences, personally.
Well,
I think everything is, yeah, everything's synchronicity.
Yeah.
Well, also, George, you know, when we think about the scientific world and everything, and Isaac Newton, who was one of the greatest of all times, he became a very faith-filled man, I think in half of his life, right, Squire? I think he became a real Bible scholar, but he said
he
something.
He had more papers, they discovered, written on the Bible and faith than he did on science.
Yes, and one of the quotes was, he said, the most beautiful system of the sun, planets, comets could only proceed from the counsel and dominion of an intelligent and powerful being. So he understood, with all the studying that he did, he knew that there had to be something more, that all the planets and the stars and the sun, well, that's gravity and everything. Who holds that up in the sky? You know, it's got to be that power that is above all of us. And we often say that God winks is like being on a GPS, God's positioning system. And all along our path in life, God will come and give us these little winks. It's almost like if you were at the dining room table with people you love, like grandma and grandpa, and they gave you a little wink, and you never asked, what does that mean? You knew it meant, hey, kid, I'm thinking about you right now. Well, that's what a God wink is. As you're going down this path in life, that he will actually give you these little things that happen where you say, wow, God, that must be you. And there's a scripture in Proverbs 3:6 where it says,
hold on, Louise, we're at a break. We'll come back and talk more about God winks. How many people get God winks? Do we all have that ability? We'll be back in a moment with Squire and Louise Rushnell as we talk about dog winks and God winks. We're going to take calls and your stories with Squire and Louise Rushnell next hour here. Much more to talk with them about, their dog winks and God winks. And I'll tell you where you can get the new book that has just come out, Dog Winks, as well. And Netflix is going to turn one of their stories into a movie series that, as you heard Squire say, they're going to start shooting very, very soon. Welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Squire and Louise Rushnell, the latest book, Dog Winks. Squire, where do you get the book? Is it out?
But you can get it anywhere books are sold. Amazon, Barnes Noble, and all those things. www.godwinks.com is where you can either window shop for the God Wink and Dog Wink books, or you and every book sold there is personally autographed by Louise and myself.
Super. And Louise, does everybody have a God Wink story sometime in their life?
Yes. Everyone has God Winks. It's just that there are people who have the eyes to see them more, you know. And so a lot of times people will say, well, how do I get more God Winks? And, you know, I think about William Temple, who was this great evangelist back in the 15th century. And he said, when I pray, coincidences happen. When I don't, they don't. Of course, he didn't know the word God Wink then. But when we find that people, when they pray, and just connect with God, God then puts them, you know, on a path. And there's, you know, scripture that always backs that up, too. It says in Proverbs, in all your ways acknowledge me, and I shall direct your path. So when we acknowledge God, our maker, the creator of heaven and earth and everything in it, then why wouldn't he create these little moments in our life just to let us know that he's always there? And, you know, George, there's always been this phrase that's been going around for years, and it says that coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous. But Squire and I have seen, after writing all these books and hearing the stories, that it's actually the opposite, because God winks are God's way of telling us, hey, I'm here. You're on this great path. You're in this tapestry, and I'm just taking that thread and threading a beautiful picture of your life. But acknowledge me, and I'll show you more.
That's exciting. It really is. And, you know, I was somewhat in jest talking about doing cat winks, but I bet if you open up the phone lines, as we are going to do that shortly next hour, you might get some cat stories where they the cat saved a family or something like that. What do you think, Squire?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I think so. I think so, indeed. You know, we got a great story from the last time I was on, George. It's in the book.
How about the little dog Butler? Bullet.
Yeah, the story of Bullet. Yeah. You want me to tell that story?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Well, Bullet is a story between two women and a dog, and the dog's name is Bullet. Now, the primary principle of this story, which is true, is Pam Sicca. And she and her husband, Troy, had suffered 5 miscarriages. Every one was devastating. And the last one, the doctor said, I'm sorry, Pam, you will never have another baby. You'll never have a baby.
Oh, geez, devastating.
But by her side, through every one of these tragedies, was their wonderful golden retriever, Bullet. And Pam would tell anybody standing still, he's my baby. Bullet's my baby. Now, the other woman in the story is a young woman, mid-20s, Ann Givens was her name. She got a coveted job as a cub reporter for the Metropolitan New York newspaper Newsday just months before 9/11. Now, keep that in mind.
Oh, yeah.
The story opens with Pam and Troy gripped with heartache, because the vet has just told them that without surgery, 13-year-old Bullet is likely to die. But there's no guarantee that the surgery, which costs $5,000, will save him either. And 13 is already 1 year older than the average lifespan for golden retrievers.
That's right. I used to own a couple of them.
Oh, and they're such beautiful, beautiful dogs.
Yep.
Now, Pam looks into Bullet's eyes, uncertain what to do. She looks into Troy's eyes, and she said, he's my baby. And she cries. But what they do is they decide to scrape together the money and do the surgery. Bullet survives. Yay! Weeks later, they go to Florida, and they take Bullet with them. They're visiting friends, and in the morning, Pam gets up and she's feeling a little tired, maybe seasick or something like that. And her friend goads her into taking a pregnancy test. She said, ha, I know the outcome. Well, at least she thought she did, but it turned out she was pregnant.
Hmm.
And everyone, including Bullet, are now dancing around the kitchen table. But moments later, everyone's attention is drawn to the television. A plane crashes into the World Trade Center, and Pam cries out, "What kind of world am I bringing my baby into?" Now, for the other woman, the Cub reporter Ann Givens, for the next 6 months, she has nothing but drudge assignments. In fact, everybody at the newspaper had nothing but drudge assignments. Everybody was writing obituaries. There was a cloud of darkness over the newsroom that never lifted. Pam's pregnancy, meanwhile, progressed with her doctor warning her to be cautious. The baby was born and had some issues, but they were released after a short stay at the hospital. And nobody was happier to see them come home than Bullet. Bullet dashed around the house with a prized possession. It was a hospital baby blanket brought home by Troy with the scent of the little baby. He took that dog out on the front lawn whenever he had to do his business. He never let go of that blanket. And Bullet took up Secret Service duty underneath the bassinet, making sure that the baby was all right.
Wow.
At 4 o'clock in the morning, Bullet starts barking, running around. Pam lifts up the baby. The baby's blue, not breathing.
Ugh.
They call the 911. The EMTs arrive. They stabilize the infant. And leaving in the ambulance, the EMT officer says, "Bullet just saved your baby's life." Minutes later, it would have been too late. Now, days later, the Cub reporter, Ann Givens, sees a lively gathering at the editor's desk, and she goes over and she's finding that they're talking about some old dog once saved by the owners with a $5,000 operation that had now saved the owner's baby. And the editor, one of those gruff-voiced guys, says, "Givens, this is your story." And she's uplifted. She's got a story that has an uplifting ending, and she goes to the home, she gets the story, and the next day, for the first time since 9/11, there was a joyful, uplifting story on the front page of Newsday. Headline, "Bullet Saves Baby."
Wow.
And that story not only lifted the hearts of all of those working tirelessly at the newspaper Newsday, but the whole population that was looking for hope, Bullet's story delivered it.
Yeah.
And that story, Signs of Hope and the God Winks, led me from a caller who called in on your show the last time I was on. A
couple years ago.
We put together the people, and we put together the story. It's maybe the longest story in the book, Dog Winks. And I'll tell you a secret. Louise and I have already pitched it to Netflix as a follow-up to Rescued by Ruby that will release next year. Now, of course, I used to be a network executive, so you don't do anything until you have to. So they say, "Well, let's see how Ruby's coming along before we start committing to more movies." But they are excited about Ruby, and they heard the pitch of Bullet, and they love that too. So we'll see where this goes.
Well, and Netflix has just announced that they're going to spend a lot of money on new content, so you may be right there in the driver's seat.
Oh, I think so. And talk about divine alignment. All of these other streaming services like Disney have pulled all their programs off of Netflix. 250 titles were pulled off of Netflix by Disney because Disney wants them in their own streaming
for competition. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, and so that means that Netflix is indeed, as you say, are going to have to invest in a lot of programming, and they're going to need some uplifting, feel-good programming in these days when we need hope so much.
That's exciting. That's exciting. And how did Louise, how did you and Squire edit down the stories for the book, Dog Winks?
Oh, there were so many. And George, as I said before, you know, when we start writing a book, we get these stories. Well, we started getting, so we really had to eliminate a lot of them. But I think you need with a God wink is that you have to have that wow moment. It's like it could only happen from that divine source. You had to be there at the right place at the right time. And we also wanted to have different stories. There's obviously stories about dogs saving people's lives, but there's also just some sweet stories how dogs give us hope and comfort when we're, you know, when we're feeling troubled. And so I just feel like every single one is divinely given to us.
It is magical. It really is.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's really the most wonderful thing about our job, George, is that we get to develop these true stories of hope. And that's what God winks really are. They're a tangible connection to the unknown. God, is there somebody up there watching over us? Is he listening to our prayers? How do we really know for sure? And God winks are a concrete connection. They're like a handrail on a wobbly staircase as we go through life. And that's what God winks do. When we have them, when we see them, when we find them more and more and more because we see them more and more, we get encouraged. And that's what our job is to be encouragers for people. Deliverers of hope.
Do you believe in miracles, Squire?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Miracles happen, I think, when you least expect them, like God winks. And I would say that most miracles are God winks, although usually a miracle is such a powerful intervention by a supernatural force that a miracle is the right word for it. A God wink is maybe not quite the right word for it. And I've had those. Those kinds of stories have been turning points in my life. You know, I don't know whether I told the story before or not, but I was married before. We were going into the hospital to have a baby. You think that's going to be a wonderful experience, giving out cigars at the other end, and you're never prepared for the doctor to say, "I'm sorry,
oh,
your baby was born in cardiac arrest."
Oh my God, that happened to you?
Yes, that happened to us. And I, of course, and my wife had cesarean, and so she couldn't even see the baby. The baby was in an incubator with 18 different tubes and wires coming out of our little boy. And I would stare at the meter that showed how much the machine was breathing and how much he was breathing. The machine was doing 95% of the breathing, and he was only doing 5%. And I pledged at that moment, looking over that little child with all of these wires coming out of him, I pledged that I was going to pray for him around the clock. And it was about this time of day, maybe 5-6 in the morning, on the second day of his life, that his body started shaking. And I called over the nurse, and she said, "He's having a seizure." She ran to find a doctor. And I started looking and praying for some evidence that this boy would be saved. And there was one of those wires, it was actually a tube that was coming from his mouth, I presume down into his throat, and what he had the ailment that he had was called meconium. He had inhaled meconium, which is your own body waste. And now his body waste was clogging up his lungs. And how do you operate on a little tiny brand new baby?
Exactly.
And so what doctors could not do, a seizure was doing, because through that transparent tube, I started seeing black substance moving through,
coming out.
And all of a sudden, I started looking at that meter that was 95% breathing by the machine, and it was dropping to 85%. A little bit later, it was down to 75%.
Which means he was on his own, right?
75%. And he was breathing 50-50 on his own by the time he was 48 hours old. And they called him the miracle baby of Lenox Hill Hospital in New York. And they knew that he would have brain damage because he was without oxygen. They didn't know how long. And my little boy is now 35 years old. He lives in a community outside of Houston that is the best adult community for disabled people in America. I swear, maybe the world. It is faith-based, and it's beautiful. And my son, Grant, loves to sing. His job for God is to sing and to help people get to feel good, and he can sing any Kenny Rogers song that was ever done, and he can carry a tune.
I love that. Stay with us, you two. We're going to come back and take some calls with you and talk more about God Wings and Dog Wings next on Coast to Coast AM.